flawed response by law enforcement to the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, has been well documented. It happened on May 24 when a gunman burst into a classroom at Robb Elementary, killing two teachers and 19 students. And now, previously unreleased records obtained by the Washington Post, the Texas Tribune, and ProPublica for the first time show how communication breakdowns also hampered the medical response by first responders. There's a whole team of reporters who've been combing through all of this, and one of them joins us now. Joyce Soo-hyun Lee is a visual forensic reporter for the Washington Post. Joyce, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Joyce, a lot of details have come out since the horrific shooting of the very botched response, but your team's reporting has found even more. Before we dive into those details of what you found, can you tell me what your job entails as far as visual forensics go and how you've been using these investigative techniques to report on the Uvalde shooting?
Absolutely. So when we approach a story like Uvalde, for example, we'll usually start by asking, you know, what existing videos and images exist from the day of? And then we ask ourselves, if we take all of this together cumulatively, what does that reveal about the situation? And so with Uvalde, I've been covering it since May 24th. And on the day of, it was all about, you know, looking on social media. And then after that, we were able to obtain just a trove of videos, of body camera videos, of dash camera videos, helicopter videos, and so on and so forth from law enforcement officers.
One of the things that your reporting found was that despite the fact that there were two ambulances parked very close by for much of the time, medical care was still delayed getting to the victims. Is that right?
That's correct. So there were three people who were pulled out of the classroom that day who had pulses, and they later passed away. And so that is teacher Ava Morales and two students, Xavier Lopez and Jackie Cazares. For Ava and Xavier, we found that there was actually a delay in critical treatment for these two patients. And, you know, what it came down to was really just an issue in both communication and coordination. You know, police, fire, EMS, even the air medical resources, they weren't able to talk to each other, and there wasn't anyone in charge sort of directing these critical resources because there were enough medical resources. There just wasn't someone to help direct them. And so what you found is that, for example, the air medics, they were there and they were saying, "We're here, we can help, how can we help?" And they weren't able to find the patients who needed their help, and they weren't able to connect with them. And that's what's been such a heartbreaking element to this story.
And the other thing that really stuck out to me was that there were other ambulances trying to get near the school, but because there were so many police cars there parked and locked, it was almost clogged and they got stuck far away and nobody, they couldn't find the police to move the police cars to get the ambulances in. Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, remembering that there were nearly 400 law enforcement officers responded to the Robb Elementary School shooting. And so you can only imagine just how many vehicles were in the area that day. And they were blocking streets. And keeping in mind that these aren't wide streets. They're fairly narrow streets, and they were blocked with cars. As, you know, law enforcement officers were quick to respond, and, you know, they get there, they jump out of their car, sometimes they lock it, sometimes they leave it running, and they, you know, run towards the school. And so that meant that these two roads, Grove Street and Geraldine, leading to the school were blocked. And so what we found is that there were ambulances that were waiting nearby, and, you know, when they got the all clear, "Please come approach the school," you hear this radio call where an ambulance crew member says, "We can't. We're blocked in by law enforcement vehicles. We can't access the school." And that is, you know, 8 minutes after the breach happened is when we hear that.
I'm wondering if you've had any response from officials to your reporting.
Yeah, so we've gotten a mix of responses. Some of the responses has been the sense that, you know, we sort of captured what it was like there on that day for medics and first responders. And we've also gotten some pushback from other organizations that were there that day trying to organize these sort of medical resources. And I would just like to emphasize that, you know, we really believe and want to make clear that the medics that we saw and their efforts were, you know, they were trying their absolute best, and that what it comes down to for us and our story, and especially with the experts that we spoke to, is that this was a failure in command and coordination and communication. And so, you know, some of the pushback from folks has been, you know, we shouldn't criticize these EMS responses, but one thing that experts we spoke to have told us is that we should be discussing the aftermath of events like this, and we should be looking at what went right and what went wrong, because the issues that we saw at play at Robb Elementary School on May 24th, they're issues that we see repeated in just about every mass shooting in America. You know, streets being blocked off with vehicles and ambulances not being able to get through, that happens on a fairly regular basis. The fact that, you know, different branches aren't talking to each other, also a very common occurrence. And so, you know, we firmly believe that these are things that we should be talking about, that we should be trying to take lessons learned from.
Right. You know, I can hear in your voice, Joyce, that this has impacted you personally. And I'm just wondering, you know, you've had to watch all these videos probably again and again. I could barely bring myself to watch one of them because they're really hard to watch. Why have you persevered?
It's thank you. That's very kind of you to say. It's not been easy, and I think that for all the reporters on this story, Zach, Lemmy, Sarah, Imogen, Arelis, and Alejandro and Uriel, it's been an emotionally taxing story, but I think for all of us, what we wanted to do is we wanted to get this information out there. The families that we spoke to have told us how little information they've been getting from the authorities. You know, they told us that a lot of what they've been learning about their child's last moments hasn't been from officials, it's been from media reports. And so when we spoke to them and we saw sort of these questions that they had, and we just felt a deep, deep obligation to try and help answer them, because it's so important, and these families deserve these answers, and they deserve to know, you know, their loved ones and what their treatment was ultimately.
And this might not be an easy question to answer, but I'm just wondering, after you've done all of this reporting, do you think if communication was better, if more ambulances could have gotten to the scene quicker, might there have been some lives saved?
No, that's not a question I can answer. I just want to emphasize that the most serious problem for these victims is that the law enforcement officers waited 77 minutes and the gunman was inside the classrooms for 77 minutes. And at the end of the day, like, the best thing you can do for gunshot wound victims is get to them and get them medical care as fast as you can. And that simply didn't happen. It was more than an hour. And at the end of the day, that is the most serious problem. And as for the what ifs and what could have been, you know, those are questions that I can't answer until we have the autopsy reports and the full, you know, all of the information that, you know, we need to make that kind of assessment.
Joyce Soo-hyun Lee is a visual forensic reporter at The Washington Post. Joyce, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time and interest.